good shepherd who saves his sheep. And we see that from verse 27. His sheep are gifts to him. Imagine that. Can you imagine that God the Father so loved the people of God, the people that he knew before the foundation of the world, that he gave them to his son? John chapter 6, verse 37 says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me. All that the Father gives me will come to me." And that's a promise. We are gifts given to the Lord with a promise. Given to the Father, given by the Father to the Son, will come to him. And Jesus claims that. All the Father gives me will come to me. And he has the other promise that goes along with it. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. And why is that? Because each person that comes to him is a gift from the Father, and he receives it as a gift. He promises his Father. I think this statement he makes, "and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away," I think is his promise to the Father. We can receive it as a promise to us, but the Father gives us to the Son, and the Son says to the Father, "I will never drive them away. I will never drive them away." And if that doesn't give assurance of salvation, I don't know what would. But I think at the same time, there's that problem that we have in our own minds of saying, well, maybe he may not push me away, but I may walk away. Do you realize that when you're born again, though, there's an instant spiritual and permanent bond between the good shepherd and his sheep? When you're born again, you're given a new heart. A person that's been saved, you might say, or born again, has been given a new heart. If you've been justified by grace through faith, it's just not only with the act of God saying you are forgiven, you're justified, but there's the whole work of the Holy Spirit giving us a new heart and a new spirit. We become a new creation. The old order is gone. The new has come. And this is an instant and permanent and spiritual bond between the good shepherd and his sheep, between you and Christ Jesus. Remember these things, that when he says, "my sheep," this sense of him saying "mine" is because the Father has given gifts to him. The Father has chosen the sheep that he will give his Son. The Father has chosen. He says, "my sheep, my particular people, hear my voice," and they listen. And who are you listening to? You listen to Jesus. He says, they will hear my voice because, why? Back to the new birth again. Because when the Father gave us to the Son, and the Spirit of God worked at the right time, it was the Father that the Spirit of God at just the right time brought us to faith in Jesus Christ. He gave us the ability to hear the voice of Jesus. Do you remember Proverbs chapter 20, verse 12? "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both." The hearing ear, the ear that can hear the voice of the Lord, the Father has given that ear. The ear that can see by faith Jesus Christ is Lord has been given sight through the indwelling Holy Spirit, a work of God, creating that new creature, the new creation in Christ Jesus. So when the Good Shepherd spoke to each and every one of us who believe, the question is, could you resist his call? Well, some would say, well, I did for the longest time. I heard the gospel for years and years and years, but I never did respond. It didn't seem true to me, and I didn't believe it. I walked for years in misery and darkness. I remember, ones have said, I remember my grandmother praying for me. I remember my mom praying for me. Or I remember the preacher would come and visit me. And all those years, I heard this message, but I never comprehended. But you remember that day when all of a sudden, as if you had were hearing it for the first time and it was life to you, your ears were open and your eyes were open and you could see and hear that this word was concerning Jesus Christ, your only hope. And you could not resist him. Many people have described it as, I was brought down so low, I was brought face to face with my own sin, but what I saw and what I heard when I was in the depths was the clear and defined voice of God speaking to my spirit that he loves me and that forgiveness of sin was found in him, in Christ Jesus. And I turned to Christ and I reached out. I couldn't help it. I had no choice. Where else was I going to turn? And I responded by faith. You responded to the call of God, and it's an irresistible call. Who can resist it? And it's because Jesus Christ himself says, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep responds when I call. And brothers and sisters, you have to know that when you preach the gospel, when you tell someone about Jesus Christ and you share the truth over and again, you have to believe that it's not your voice that they're going to hear that's going to cause them to respond. They may hear your voice, but in their heart, they will hear the voice of God when they're born again. And so Jesus says, they're my sheep. I know them. They hear my voice. Well, he says, they're my sheep. They hear my voice. I know them. I know them. It's an intimate, deep, personal knowing. He knows everything about you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows the gifts that you have. He knows the things that you've been endowed with that you yourself use a lot daily and can excel in life. But he knows your weaknesses. He knows your fears. He knows your setbacks. He knows the hardships that you face, each and every one. He knows you intimately. He knows what makes you shine. He knows what dims your light, so to speak. He knows you. But he says, I know them. And the other side of that, he says, and they follow me. In verse 27, I know them and they follow me. Now, this is very important because he's saying these things don't maybe happen. They do happen. I know them. That's a matter of fact. And they follow me. That also is a matter of fact. The question is, are you following Jesus? It's a message you don't often hear much anymore, and that is that we are called to follow Jesus. Remember the great old hymn we like, I have decided to follow Jesus, and most of us have sang that song before, and we should constantly sing that and preach that to ourselves as an encouragement to follow him today. I have decided to follow Jesus, and it's a decision that you make. You have believed on the Lord by grace through faith. Grace through faith. Gifts, a gift of God, this faith. You've been given ears to hear and eyes to see. You were born again. And the call to those that have been born again is, the statement is, you will follow. But the question is, are you following him? And we're going to look at this for just a few minutes this morning. The question is, what does follow him mean? Do you realize that there are religions all over the world that are more faithful oftentimes than most Christians? They carry out their daily duties, but they do it without true faith. Christians are called not to follow a system, but to follow the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called to keep our eyes upon him, to turn our eyes upon him always. To live this following is a matter of worship. I saw a meme on Facebook this morning. I forget who put it on there, but it was so good. And it was about worship, that as we worship God, the glories of this created world should dim and Christ's glory should come to the forefront. The follower of Jesus Christ is one who pursues Christ relentlessly, becoming more and more attracted to him, wanting to listen to him and observe him in the scriptures, desiring to be holy. There's there is admonition and exhortation all through the scripture calling God's people to obedience. In the Old Testament, it was a call all the time, call in this way, follow after God, obey Him. Why? Because of all He has done for you. And sometimes as Christians, especially those of us who love the doctrines of grace, we don't want to step on that hallowed ground for fear that we're going to transgress the grace of God by calling people to follow. We become afraid that we're somehow going to get this out of balance, and I'm afraid of that. I don't want to get out of balance this gospel of grace. I don't want to tread upon the doctrines of grace and somehow soil them. But you can't miss what the scripture says when it calls us to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ and to be holy and to put away deeds of darkness and to go to war with the flesh and to kill the flesh. There is a calling to follow Jesus that involves death to yourself. Many people profess Jesus Christ as Savior, but they have little desire for Him. The most sad truth of the modern church is that there are many professors but few followers of Jesus Christ. You may be one who has become numb to the call to follow after Jesus. When Jesus called His disciples to Himself, He said, "Follow Me." And we get the impression that they followed Him and they grew in their love for Him. Many people in our world today, in this nation we call Christian nation, have been deceived into thinking that they are something when they're nothing. They have no love for Him. They have no appetite for Him. They have no taste for Him. They don't desire to hear His word. They don't desire to know Him better. They don't want to know what pleases Him. We don't mention these things very often, but we have to. Some of the best lessons I ever heard when I was a teenager was lessons that would challenge me to give Christ my all. They didn't ask me to do a whole lot of religious exercises. They wanted me to follow Jesus. They wanted me to examine my heart and to find out, who am I really following? What am I really taking hold of? Am I following my own selfish desires, or am I desiring what Christ wants? There will be a sizable commitment on your part if you are following after Jesus Christ. The more you know Him, the less you'll feel like you're sacrificing for Him. But the more you know Him, the more commitment you'll give to Him. You make this decision daily, a decision to live to please God rather than to please yourself. You have to ask yourself those questions. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it primarily just because it's what I want to do and I, irrespective of what God wants? Jesus said, they will follow Me. They follow Me. This is what they do. They keep their eyes on Me. They make that sizable commitment to follow, to know Me and to follow Me. The clearest way to describe this, I think, is as to be a follower of Jesus Christ is you go where He wants you to go. After all, He's the good shepherd. You go where He wants you to go. I ask you, is where Christ wants you to go anything but a way that would cause you to know Him better? Is the way Christ calls you to go going to cheat you out of enjoying Him? You're going to know Him better. Everything He calls you to is to bestow upon you one rich blessing after another. You do what He wants you to do because He's the sovereign Lord who has reached out and called you to Himself and saved you. This is important for us to think about because we oftentimes are caught up in doing what we want to do, knowing what we want to know. Friends, He wants us to know Him and enjoy Him forever and ever and ever. Many people in this world. Some of you may know some, and or maybe you might be one I'm talking to right now. You've paid lip service to Jesus, but you haven't really desired to know him. Listen to what Isaiah 29, verse 13, where God was, he was sounding off concern and warning the people of God, the Israelites. He said this, "This nation approaches me only with their words and honors me only with their lip service. But their hearts are far from me, and their reverence for me is a tradition and mere formality." To follow after Jesus Christ is to pay much more than lip service. It is to give heart service to him, flawed as it may be. Is to give him your all, and of your wealth, and of your own life. It's to give him everything. He gave everything for you. Our passion and our love should be for him. Many people claim to be in Jesus Christ. You may even claim to be in Jesus Christ, but you have no appetite for him. No spiritual stomach to ingest his word. No mental faculty that wants to ponder and think about the word of truth. If it's true that you find yourself, and I'm speaking to a broader audience today, but you find yourself paying lip service to Christ, and you have no stomach for him, you don't desire anything he desires, you don't even care to know what he says, then you're not his sheep. And your response at that point in time, when if you come to that determination, I'm worried that I'm not his sheep, if you're worried that you're not his sheep, is to fall on your knees before him and cry out for mercy. I think the best thing that ever happened to me, and I'm confident that I was in the faith, but there was a period of time of just cold-hearted dryness in my spirit. I was doing nothing to feed my soul. I was doing nothing to behold the radiance of his glory. And the Lord constantly, I think I was being reminded of, there's no peace, there's no peace, there's no peace. And one night I cried out, 2 o'clock in the morning in my heart, "Oh Lord, I just want your peace. I want to walk with you. I want to know you better." And he was not slow in bringing peace and keeping me with him. It's possible that you may have new birth and be spiritually asleep. I really believe that. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, John writes to the church, he says, "Little children, believers, dear saints, let us not love merely in theory, with only word or tongue," in other words, giving lip service only, "seeming to care, but let us love with action and in truth." There is never a point in the Christian's life where it's okay not to act out your faith through deeds, works, love, in response to the gospel that you have received. Your assignment this afternoon would be to look at James chapter 2, probably one of the most unpopular chapters in all the Bible because it's so hard, but he will end with the verse 26 in James chapter 2. He says, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." You don't work for your salvation. It's in response to the salvation that you have received, that you then trust him and follow after him and obey him, putting into practice the things that Jesus has commanded. You know and trust him. You know that you trust him. You know that he's your only hope. But you find out today when you think about your life that you're worldly, and that you love the things of this world. It's hard not to love the things of this world, but we're called to not love the things of this world. Jesus says, "I know them, and they follow me. They follow me in my world." We live in this world, but we're not a part of this world. And right now, if you hear your heart speaking something against you, If your heart is speaking something against you, you're in your heart, you're conflicted in your conscience. I am worldly. I've loved the things of this world so much. And that you're not living the life that Jesus Christ has called you to live as you follow him, as calling you to follow him, then it's this simple: repent. Confess to him your worldliness. Lay it all before him, every bit of it. And it's not always easy to confess worldliness to the Lord, but he says, follow me. He gave his life for you. He shed his own blood for your soul, that you would spend eternity with him, not away from him. But he says, follow me, my sheep, follow me. They follow me in my world, in my realm, in my orbit. Ruth chapter 2, I think it is, where Ruth says, I will go where you go. Your God will be my God. This should be our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll go where you go. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll be among your God as my God. Everything that's yours, I'll submit myself to and submerge myself into your world. Would you submerge yourself into Christ's world today? It's his call to you. He says about you, if you are his, you follow me. Call upon the Lord. If you've never trusted him and you think my whole life, my whole Christian walk has not been true and I'm worried about my soul. Friend, the fact that you're worried tells me the Spirit of God's calling you today. Do not resist him today. Do not resist the voice of the Good Shepherd. Call upon the Lord and be saved. And believer, if you've walked with the Lord, you've committed your life to him, you're desiring him, but you oftentimes think, but what good does it do? You may be tired or weary. Let him strengthen you. Look in the Old Testament, and you see Moses on the day he was taken, or he passed away. He was vigorous and strong. You may not feel vigorous and strong physically, but you can be filled with the vigor and strength of Jesus Christ. If you want that today, ask him for that today. There is no comfort and no assurance that anyone should ever give someone who's just giving lip service to Christ. There is no comfort, no assurance. But there is so much comfort to be found. We spent our time today on one aspect of this comfort and assurance. You should be comforted if you're convicted right now. You should be comforted if you're being challenged to follow him with all your heart. You should be comforted if you've come to him through faith for the first time. And a believer who is repentant, who loves him, can take great assurance in verses 28 and 29, and then we'll close. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Lord willing, we'll spend time on this next week, and it will radically change your world, I think, to give you such boldness and courage in Christ Jesus, that following after him will be your greatest joy and pursuit in life. I thought it'd be good for us today, as we close, our invitation would be through prayer of these scriptures that I've listed. They're prayers of repentance and renewal. I thought that would be a good way for us to close out today. And you can read with me as I lead us through it. At the bottom of your page. Search me through and through, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts and deepest cares. See if there be an offensive and grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. From Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. I hope that's your prayer today. Psalm 51, verse 10. And then Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, great hope. Blessed is the person whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the person whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. He forgives sins. He gives strength to the weary. He provides everything you need for life and godliness. We've fixed on John 10:27 again, where he says, follow. And I hope that you'll let the Lord examine your heart, that you would truly come humbly before him and follow him. Commit your way to the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, hear our prayers and receive our greatest desires today. And those that are ungodly, that you would cast them far away. But those that are right, that you would strengthen us, that we might know you and desire you more, and to give you our whole heart and life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. You can wave to one another as we depart. Love you.